Bible says a wise man scales the walls of a city and pulls down the trusted strongholds. Pastor Tony's good at that. He just has to watch out for the curbs. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So he's ready to scale some more walls this year. I'm ready. Are you ready? Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. God has you right where he wants you, because you've allowed him. So we thank you, Lord. New Year's Eve at your place, right? Four Winds. Dearborn. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, worship team. We bless you in the name of Jesus. You're beyond blessed. Can't get. You could stay right there. Hallelujah. Here he comes.
How's that? Good? Yay, God. Hallelujah. Where's Don? Hey, Don.
Thank you. Thank you, God.
Any testimonies from this week? Any announcements you want to make before this engine starts cranking? Yeah. Microphone.
You're live.
This is scary. My nephew's wife, they just got married a year ago, has been very sick for the past year, and they couldn't diagnose her problem. They thought she had Lyme's disease, which is devastating because they're a brand new newlywed couple. And then they thought she had some other rare disease, and they couldn't put their finger on it. And she was very, very sick. Missed Christmas, missed so many opportunities to be together with the family. Because of her illness, her heart would race and palpitate, and she would get dizzy and pass out. She doesn't eat, she doesn't sleep. She's very depressed of the diagnosis. My sister sent me a text this morning saying that there was some kind of miracle breakthrough. She found the avenue that she is embracing, because she wouldn't take medication, and they are believing in this miracle, and I am too, and I am just elated. Praise God. I've been waking up at 2 in the morning and just on my knees praying for her, for this beautiful couple, and praise God.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Jesus said, only believe. Just looking for somebody to believe. Just somebody believe. Watch what he does. I haven't talked to him yet. Next week. The third? When is that? It's the third. This week. We're on the edge of 2019. Yo, Landa. Wow. Wow, when we were worshiping, God took me into a vision, and I, just in my heart, I'm saying, what's going to happen, Lord? What's happening? And I saw these huge, huge double doors. And they opened up, and it was Jesus opening them up. Brilliant light coming from behind him. And he said this, this is what's happening. Whosoever will can enter. We got any whosoever's here? Yeah. I love that. Whosoever. Not conditioned or conditional upon your performance. Just will you believe and receive and step in to what he has for you. He's done open the doors for us in a way that you can't even imagine. I want to imagine. Do you know what this last week, I was in a whole bunch of different nations. This last week, I ministered to thousands and thousands of people. This last week, I saw many salvations. I saw many. you're thinking this guy's delusional, right? I saw many salvations. I saw many, many miracles. I saw nations being transformed. I was there. You know what? All week long, he took me into dreams and visions. And you say, oh, it's just you dreaming. Uh-uh. Old men will dream dreams. And I'm young in my spirit, so I get to see visions too. Hallelujah. 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 God speaks, and he speaks powerfully to us in ways, you know, our soul's in the process. Our soul's in the process. And sometimes we got to go to sleep, get that baby out of the way so God can show us a few things. Right? Amen. Amen. So I had an awesome week. Tremendous ministry. You know what I know in my heart? It wasn't just a dream. He was showing me where I'm going. He was showing me what's already been done in the spirit, and this year I'm going to step into it. The doors are open. He was showing me the doors are open for you. He reminded me of, you know, many years ago when I first started going after God and realizing that I wasn't the end. The end wasn't in myself or my own ability or my own talents or what I could do. It was in him. And I needed to find out what was in him and who I was in him. And I began pressing into that and trusting the Holy Spirit to show me that. And I didn't know. I didn't know what was that. I hadn't even gone on a mission trip. I didn't know. And some of you may have heard me say this, but, you know, as I was going around looking at my, I wake up at 5:55, I look at clocks, I see billboards, 5:55, I'm seeing 5:55 everywhere. And I wasn't getting it. I just, that's strange, that's really strange. That's strange. And I'm praying, and he said, open up to Isaiah. Open up to Isaiah. This is what he told me. Now, you know, I was seeking. I wanted to, where am I going? What's next? What's ahead? So rather than just tell me, he's flashing 5:55 everywhere, right? And I open up Isaiah 55:5. It says this, surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God. Before I ever went on a mission trip, before I ever went to another nation. And he reminded me this week, he took me back there. He said, would you like me to remind you of that moment? You were blown away. I said, I know. I still am. I'm going to remind you. Do you think I changed my mind? Do you think I call and take away? Do you think my hand is short? Do you think there's difficulty on my side? You preach only believe. Will you only believe? Yeah. Yeah. So I had quite a week. I've been all over the world. And I'm blasted excited about what's coming. I'm blasted. You know why? Because I know it's already done. It's already done. I love it. You know, when I go somewhere, you know, and I'm seeing people I've never met before in my life, never been there, and somebody standing in front of me, and all of a sudden I have a flash of that person standing in front of me. You know, it in Job it says that there are moments that will happen that God takes us someplace in the spirit, and then he seals that up until the appointed time, because he doesn't want us to be prideful, doesn't want us to think that we're something that we're not, but he seals it up till that moment. So I've got this person standing in front of me, you know, and all of a sudden I have a flash, and I remember that God had shown me in a dream or a vision or something that this person was there, exactly what was wrong with them. I prayed, they got healed. And you know, I'll say, I know what's wrong with you. And I'll tell them, and they'll say, how did you know that? I said, God showed me about 6 years ago. They'll say, what? Yeah. And they're like, of course, you know, they might have had some faith or little faith, and all of a sudden it's just like, put your hand on me. It's done. See, it was already done. It was already done in eternity past. When Jesus went to the cross, he already took care of that thing, and he chose to show me certain things. He'll do the same with you. He'll do the same with you. Don't ever think that somebody is destined to have higher spiritual experiences than you. Don't ever think that the testimonies you hear from other people is, wow, that's great, God, for them. I ain't never going to have. Don't ever think that. The reason you're hearing it is because, thank you, Lord, I received that for me. That's right. Jesus said, and even greater things will we do than what he did. It's not little Tony saying that. It's Jesus saying that. We need to get excited. You know, Holy Spirit releases according to what we believe for. If we believe for little, he can't release but little. He's an abundant God, and he has abundance for you. It's past our puny minds finding out. Okay, our minds are too puny. They're way too small. Way, way, way too small. Our minds can't even begin to fathom what God has for us, but we have the mind of Christ. And in us, in our spirit, is all that God has for us. All the revelation we'll ever need. Do you know, when you get revelation, you know those aha moments, like, oh, yeah. You know, when the revelation comes, you think it's falling down on you? Uh-uh. Spirit of God's taking it out of your spirit, which already knows all the word, and releasing it to you from the inside. Hey, you are a walking Bible. Your head just doesn't know that. So we need to get our mind renewed, okay? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you want to do with us this morning. Thank you for bringing us along, bringing us along. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have such awesome, exciting things for us. Begin to cause us to see more and more what you have already done for each of us. Cause excitement to so well up inside of us that we won't be able to contain it. We love you. We bless you. We're excited, excited for your plans for us. And we want to join together in agreement in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Remember, anytime you look at something in your life and you see lack and you see inability and you start thinking, I can't do that, that is not the mind of Christ. That's not the mind of your spirit. It's not the mind of the Holy Ghost. Anytime you see that, now I know I'm not alone. You get it all the time, don't you? You can't do that. How the heck's that ever going to happen? How are you going to go there? How can you possibly? You've not been trained for that. You've not learned enough for that. Oh, hang on. It's not by your power. It's not by your might. It's by the Spirit of God who's living inside of you right now that everything in the kingdom happens. Every one of you in this room right now, you may feel like your mind is puny in the knowledge of God. But the Spirit of God in you is not puny. And it begins by trust. It begins by faith. And as you just trust yourself in Him, He's going to lead you to the Word. He's going to plant that stuff in you. He's going to plant that Word in you. Oh, man, until it bears a harvest like you wouldn't believe. But until you get to that place, you can still trust Him. And He will bring you into encounters, into experiences your mind does not understand yet. And you'll just be blown away. But He wants you to come to the place, and you will come. Say, I will come to the place. I will come to the place where my mind does understand, where it's going to take orders from my spirit, man, and it's going to tell my body what to do. It's going to tell me where to go from orders from the Spirit, not from my mind anymore. It's the mind of Christ in us that needs to direct us. It's the Spirit of God in us that needs to direct us. And that's where our hope comes from. That's where the life comes from as we lean on it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. The psalmist is talking to his soul. He's talking to his mind, will, and emotion. Bless the Lord, mind. Bless the Lord, soul. Stop your stupid thinking. We're going to bless the Lord. We're going to bless the Lord. Come on, let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm speaking to my body. I'm speaking to my mind all week long, okay? You are going to bless the Lord. You're going to walk. You're going to jump. You're going to sprint. You're going to dance more than ever before. We're going to bless the Lord, okay? Hallelujah. I love the scientific stuff. Okay, I don't trust in it, but I love how they're confirming the Word of God. Remember, I told you a while back about this test they made about the rice in these three jars, okay? And in the one jar, they put a label on the outside of it that says, you stink, or something like that. you're lousy. You have a terrible life. And then they put on one, you are blessed. And the ones with negative words printed on them, they all turned rotten. The ones with you are blessed stayed pure, healthy, white-looking all the time. Never went black. Coming out of this vessel is going to be words that I want to see happen in my life. Words of truth. You see, we are ambassadors. If you're an ambassador of heaven, which you are, every one of you are ambassadors, okay? God is performing His will through His ambassadors. You are ambassadors to your neighborhood, to your family, to the nations. You are ambassadors, okay? Here's something we need to know about being an ambassador. The nation that you are representing is only obligated to back you up when you speak the words of the king of your nation. When you speak your own words, he's not obligated to back you up. When you speak the words of the kingdom from which we come, guess what? We switch kingdoms, guys. We're not of the kingdom of this world anymore. We are of the kingdom of heaven. That's our homeland. You're just a pilgrim here. You're an alien here. You are an alien. You're probably around some people sometimes. You start doing God talk and they think you're an alien, right? I mean, you may feel like you're an alien with their responses, right? Okay, but you are. You really are. This is not our home. Our home is heaven. And our home needs to be, our heart needs to be where our home is. Our heart needs to be planted, rooted, grounded in heaven. In our homeland. And when we speak his words, all of heaven will back you up. The angels come and they say, all right, let's go, boys. And they begin to release the truth of the word that you spoke. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. When I speak, it's the words of the Father. When I speak, they are words of truth. When I speak, the Spirit of God, this is the resurrection. The same one that resurrected me and his resurrection life, he rides on those words. What do you want? So I want to emphasize again. Okay, it's going to be a little repeat. I've discovered that you can't just hear something once. You can't just get excited one time. You can't just receive revelation and say, yes! Amen. And then forget about it. No. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. In Christ Jesus. All the promises of God. I love that. Okay? People say you're a new covenant person. You don't read the Old Testament. Oh, I read the Old Testament. I pull all the promises out of it. Every promise in there in the Old Covenant that's conditional upon my obedience is now met in the New Covenant under what Jesus did for me. So I love to read it because when I read it, it's for me right now. I just got to believe and receive. That's the New Covenant. Hallelujah. All the promises of God are yes and amen. You know, the Jewish people, they believe this. They believe that God rains out his blessings. And that when God's raining out his blessings, they grab a hold of it and they say, amen. Okay, they when they say amen, they believe they are receiving the raining out of God's blessings. But what the Jewish people don't know is Revelation 3:14 says that Jesus declares, I am the amen. Amen. Jesus said, I am the amen. Jesus is the amen. And when we're saying amen, we're saying, Jesus! All that is in you is mine. All that you have done is mine. All the promises of the Word of God from the beginning to the end is mine. As I trust in you, as I rest in you, as I lean on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that even some of you, you know, you've been getting dreams, but they're not the kind of dreams you really like. You've been getting some weird dreams. You've been getting some dreams that may be a little freaky, maybe a little scary. And maybe you're getting some God dreams you don't understand. I pray that there would be a release in the Spirit for every one of you beginning this very hour. That when you lay your head down tonight, you lay your head down on that pillow, you could just say, thank you. You're taking me in the Spirit. Thank you for what you're going to allow me to see. Maybe he'll bring you into some situations that are yet to come. He'll show you what it's going to be, and he'll seal it back up again. You wake up, you won't remember it. But when you're in, you got somebody in front of you, you got that event happening, he'll bring it back, and you'll know. And you know how it happened. It starts with believing that he does that. Amen? Yeah. Right, Don? Yes. Yes. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Wow, I love that. I love that. Okay, so we're going to do a little review. Are you ready? Okay, we're going to go to, I'm not going to read a lot. At least I don't think I'm going to read. Mark chapter 4, okay? Jesus is talking to them about the parable of the sower. We're not going to go through that whole thing. We've done it before, and you can read it. But understand it. Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand the rest of them. If you don't understand how this works, you're not going to know how the kingdom works. So you need to understand how this works, okay? He's talking about different kinds of soil, okay? He talks about the seed, the sower going and sow the seed, right? Just spreading the seed, okay? The seed represents the Word of God, okay? You'll find that in Scripture, a lot of times that word seed, the root word for it in the Hebrew or Greek is sperma. What does that mean? It means that it is that which will impregnate you. It is that which will impregnate you, and if the soil is correct. You see, this parable is about the different conditions of the soil of our heart. If the heart, our heart condition is ready to receive that sperma word and let it conceive, then it's going to grow. It's going to grow. And it talks about, you know, all the cares of the world's concerns, cares of the world and worries and all the anxieties and all those things. If you get into all that, they act like weeds. And they come in and they choke out the seed of the word that's growing. And what religion teaches is that you got to go pull the weeds.
You got to deal with the things that are wrong. You got to change those things and you know, make those things right and get rid of those things in your life. That's what religion teaches. That's not God's way. You know how to do it? You plant more seeds. The seeds of the Word of God are stronger. They will take root and they will squeeze out the weeds. They will kill the weeds because the roots of the Word of God are way stronger than the roots of a weed.
Amen. Amen.
That's God's way. You just put more word in you. Just put more word in you. Just put more word in you. Yay. Not try to deal with, you know, this time of year especially, okay, usually the last church service of the year in Christian churches all over the place. They preach this message, and by the time you get to the end, they're given an altar call invitation to come to repent and to not renew, but to, what's the word? Resolutions, make resolutions. Yeah, that's worldly too. It's come on, somebody help me. Rededicate. Okay, rededicate yourself to the Lord. Okay, how many want to come up to rededicate yourself to the Lord at this time of the year to go into the new year with a new rededicated self? Okay, that's not the word. The word says kill yourself, die to yourself, get yourself out of the way. It's not about yourself. It's about your spirit, man, and the Spirit of God within you teaching your mind. Yourself is your mind, will, and emotions, okay? That's what yourself is. It's not a... You try to rededicate yourself. What are we saying? I'm going to work harder. I'm going to be better. I'm going to study the Bible more. I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to do all these better things. And you know, you might be lucky if you get to 2 or 3 weeks. And you done fall out of church again. You done fall away from God again. Why? Because it's not about what we ourselves do. It's all about our faith in what He has done in us. For us, it will do through us. That's Christianity. And that will be full of life, and that will be enduring, and that will carry us through. And the Spirit of God will spontaneously be able to release the life of Jesus in every situation. It's not that we got to try harder. No, that'll kill you. Deny yourself, Jesus said. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What does that mean? Don't you try to do it. Have faith in me. You got the goods. I'm done living inside of you, man. Jesus said, I'm living inside of you. Let me do it. Let me do it. So he's saying, okay, in this parable, he's saying, okay, scrap the religious way. Take up my way. Just keep planting seeds. Just keep planting that sperm of word. Let it conceive, make conception within you, and bring forth a lot of God babies. Bring forth a lot of, yeah, agape love. Bring forth a lot of love. Bring forth the truth of the Word of God. I've discovered that, you know, revelation comes, but if I don't do something with that revelation, if I just say amen and I walk away, I lose it. Here's the horror. If we don't get that revelation rooted within us, if we don't get it rooted within us, and I'm going to talk to you a minute about how to do that. It's so simple. We've talked about it before, but we got to talk about it again. I need it. You need it. If we don't get it rooted within us, here's what it happens. It becomes a dead letter, and you are able to talk, teach, and preach about it out of here, and there's no life coming from it. I had a brother call me this last week and say, I haven't seen him in a long time. And he said, I've been a lot of places since I left the area with you guys. I've been a lot of places. I've seen a lot of people, heard a lot of people, great preachers, big preachers, TV preachers, guys really, really, really who know the word. But there's no life. There's no changed lives that are coming out of it because it's dead letter. coming. Oh, the word's coming. The letter of the word is coming forth. Oh, no, no, no. I want the spirit of the word to come forth. That's what changes lives. You can stand with somebody in front of you, and you can spout out the word of God at them. And if it's the letter, it's not taking root within you, it's not hold of you, it's not who you are. If that word is not, like Colossians says, dwelling richly within you. If that word is not dwelling richly within you, and you're not speaking out of who you've been made to be, out of what the Spirit of God has produced within you. If you're not speaking out of that, this person's going to look at you and say, yeah, you got your religion, I got mine. I'm not interested in what you have to say. But I'm telling you, you could have three scriptures that are alive in you. And you could speak them to someone out of the Spirit. And that will rip right to the person's heart. And they'll go away. And they'll have to wrestle with that at night. And they'll come face to face with the Spirit of God. Microphone. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I have a testimony of exactly what Pastor Tony's talking about. I have this friend all my life, a long time in my life. She's a Jewish girl. And all of a sudden, she came down with cancer. Okay, and this cancer, that the way she was describing it to me, it was as if she was made of cancer. I mean, she kept talking it, talking it, talking it. So my daughter and I flew quickly to her house, okay? I was like, all right, not on our watch. Not after what I've learned. I'm not allowing that to happen. So the Holy Spirit's going to teach her, and we're going. That's it, whatever God's got me to do. So we went, and throughout the time of being in her home, there was different things she was saying. You know, she wasn't where she needed to be. And I just kept saying, Lord, teach me what I'm here. Tell me. And so all of a sudden she went on a visit, doctor visit with my daughter. So while I was in her home, she said to me, why don't you go look at my Torah, you know, what she reads. So I said, I was in the house that day and I had never looked at one. So I said, maybe I'll. So go over there by the books, and what do I see? I see books of demonic, how to be a Wiccan, how to be a witchcraft Wiccan. And I'm like, oh, there's the cancer. Got you. Okay. So then I said, all right, Lord, I don't really want to open the book, but I want to know, is she indulging in this? Is this really, you know, it, what you're showing me? So then the Lord showed me, I opened the book to this one spot where it showed all this stuff that they use. Like they use these jewels and different things to do. So I looked around the house and saw everything. So I walked around the house and I anointed every single thing with oil. And then just continued in worship what God had me to do, whatever God had me to do. So then, boom, we have to go home. Okay. So on the way home, she's talking, and in the car, and the Holy Spirit had me speak to her and say, you know what, Lisa? You have tried everything in life. Why not try Jesus? You've heard me for a long time speak about the Lord, but I didn't know what I know now back then, but I still knew Jesus back then. But, you know, so she heard me. She heard me. Well, I mean, the doctors told her she had a couple of months to live, and it was over. Well, that was over 2.5 years ago. Okay. Awesome, right? So she puts on Facebook, miracle. I cannot even understand what's going on here, but I gotta say, this is real. And so she starts praising God and starts seeking God and all this wonderful stuff. So, you know, I was busy being myself and doing all these other things that, you know, we do in our lives. And then I just heard that somebody was going back to their old ways of thinking. Something's coming. And I just started to pray. I didn't know who it was. And then my sister-in-law happened to call me up and said, the Lord told me to tell you to pray for God's people. So I started doing that. And then I found out that she died. Now, it wasn't that she's not going to heaven, because she is. But it's more about she didn't get to be who she was supposed to be here. That's what's just important. So, you know, everything that the Holy Spirit is releasing through Pastor Tony, all we got to do is seek the Father and allow Him to teach us. You know, even through worship was really interesting. I saw this rock all over me, like a rock, and then a piercing crack and light pummeling through. And at one point, I saw little hearts coming down. And, you know, I was like, nice. Just love the people. Just love them. Love them, love them, love them. And He's coming out the more we allow Him to. That's it. We don't have to do anything else but love. Don't complicate it. When you catch yourself, take it back. Pastor Tony taught me that, which was really awesome. He said, are you going to let the enemy take that from you? I went, oh, no, I take that back right now in Jesus' name. He said, you get to take it back. We get to take it back. God knows what we're going to do. We don't have to apologize, walking around apologizing. Just, you know, continue.
Amen. We all have testimonies of victories and defeats. I'm believing for a radical increase in the number of testimonies of the victories of Jesus, where people come to know the truth. They don't only step into it, walk in it, but they finish the race. Finish the race. I don't. All right. Look at this. Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 8. It would do you good. Any of you ever memorize scripture? All right. This is a good one to memorize. Okay, because you know what you're doing when you're memorizing? You're repeating it. You're thinking about it over and over and over and over again. Now, how many of you have minds that you can memorize something in 5 minutes? No, it usually takes days or weeks, right? Right? I believe that for the number for me, and it may be different for everybody, is 3 days. If I will, 72 hours. If I will meditate on this word that I just received revelation on for 72 hours, think about it. Talk to Holy Spirit about it. 72 hours, just that one revelation, again, it's mine. It's mine. It'll never be taken from me. It's not dead letter. It's alive in me. So this word says, this book of the law, okay, we're going to say this word of God, this Bible. All right? This word of God shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. That word meditate literally means to mutter to yourself, to mutter to yourself, to ponder, to talk to yourself. You ever talk to yourself? There's nobody around. You're just talking to yourself. Okay. Yeah, you ever see somebody walking down the street and they're talking, there's one person just walking, they're talking away, okay? I pray that it's they're talking to themselves about the word. I pray that's what it is. But that's literally what meditate means, okay? It's you're thinking about it, you're pondering it, you're talking to the Holy Spirit. Keep explaining this to me, Holy Spirit. Take me deeper into the truth of what this word says here. And then just keep speaking to yourself. What's yourself? Your mind, your will, your emotions, your body. You're speaking out of your spirit. You're taking the word and you're speaking it. You're saying, soul,
get this. Soul, mind, will, emotions, you get this. This is the truth. Because this is how we're going to operate. This book of the Word of God shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. What? Day and night. You think maybe God knew something about us? Meditate in it day and night. Okay, normally what we do is you're in church, we get revelation over something, we get all excited. Well, you know, we leave, we go out and we eat, and we immediately forget about it. Then go home, turn on the TV, and our mind is on something else. That's not what he's saying here. If we will meditate on it, okay, that you may observe to do. Okay. Old covenant, you had to be obedient to do things in order to receive the blessing. New covenant, Jesus has already done it all for us. Okay, so what does this mean to do? It means to believe. To believe. To do under the new covenant is to believe. Obedience under the new covenant is obedient to believe. To place your faith in this word. To place your faith in the fact that the Spirit of God is living in you and He will live it through you. That He will empower you and He will release anointing on you. That you have faith in His word and His promise to do it. That's new covenant obedience. It's not that we have to go do. The doing comes out of faith. You just find yourself doing. You spontaneously want to love people. You spontaneously want to bless people. You spontaneously want to pray for people. You spontaneously want to help people. It's just spontaneous, okay? Because it's the Spirit now taken out of your new nature to do that. Are you with me? Al's with me. Okay, you got a testimony? We need a microphone. Can y'all hear her? Is it turned off?
Hello?
There we go.
When I had this stroke November 30th and I was in the hospital, there's just one particular thing that I want to talk about. And when I had the MRI of the brain, one of the places of the brain that was affected was memory. I was supposedly had trouble with memory, with speech, and with my right side. I had speech therapy, and I'm talking pretty normal. And I had physical therapy, and I still have a little problem with my right side, but I never had trouble with my memory. Only now did I understand why. Before I didn't. I talked to Pastor Tony about it last week, and I didn't get it. Finally, I get it, and it was because of you talking about the memory and how long it takes you to remember something. Well, ordinarily, I'm one of those people that has to rehearse it to remember it. But I was given words to remember. The nurse that was giving me the test had to leave, and she came back. She didn't think I could remember any of the words, but I remembered all the words. I still remember all the words, and I'm going to tell you the words and then tell you the meaning. That's why I remembered it. I only got the vision while Tony was talking and to why I could remember the words. The words were head, velvet, church, daisy, red, and place. Just now, I got the message as to why I could remember all those words, because each one of those words had a meaning through Christ was to, for me to clear my head, make my self to be able to think and believe in what's right. The velvet is just a soft place. I've always loved the feel of velvet. So to me, that was just a soft place to be. Church was where I needed to go and get knowledge. Daisies were just something beautiful. I've always liked flowers, and I've always felt comfortable in a garden, especially if there's flowers there. So that also had a meaning for me. Red was the blood of Christ that was covering me. And the place, the word place, is a place for me. So I just got it today while Tony was
praise
talking.
God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh. Wow.
Wow.
Okay, now it's legal to say more, Lord. Yeah, stuff like that. Okay. The operation of the Spirit of God. That you may observe to do according to all that is written, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What's prosperous mean? To have no lack in any area of your life. Is that a good goal for us?
Yes.
Yep. And how about success? To accomplish, for every one of us, to accomplish our God-given purpose. For maybe for some, it's to find out what my God-given purpose is. But that's what meditating on the Word will do. It will bring you into prosperity. I'm a prosperity preacher, not like a lot of them. It says that you'll have a new Cadillac and all that stuff. I'm talking about prospering in the Spirit. That's where I want to prosper. I want to be able to bring the life of Jesus Christ to hurting people, to prosper, to watch the person standing in front of me. All right, go to the insane asylum. Go to the ward in the hospital where people go because they've gone crazy, okay? To go in there and look at those people and be able to speak a word to them that will bring them out of that. Like that. That's the kind of prosperity I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And I think that's what God is talking about. And to accomplish our God-given purpose. All right, we all have, in one sense, we all have the same God-given purpose, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That we all look like Jesus. We think like Him. We act like Him. We move like Him. We're empowered like Him. We bless like Him. Okay? Every one of us. That's the destiny, okay? That's the calling. That's the divine providence of God that we would be, we've been destined, predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. But beyond that, okay, that's for all of us. Beyond that, God has specifically for each one of us additional things to be able to do with that Christ-likeness. And that's worldwide. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, to come to begin to understand. How do we come to begin to understand it? We've got to meditate on the Word of God. We need to allow the Spirit of God to release. Keep planting, keep planting, keep planting. As the roots of those words of God swallow up and kill all of the weeds that are in the field of our heart, in the ground of our heart. Every weed. Until we find ourselves not even thinking anything but God. We find ourselves responding to everything that comes at us with a God response, with a word response. Not with a fleshly, not with a carnal, not with a physical response, but coming back, we think and we respond and we speak back with a word that's truth. So we just find ourselves doing that. That's the result of, that's what the Spirit of God will do. He will do it. It's not us trying to clean up our life. It's not us rededicating ourselves to try harder. No, it's the Spirit of God trusting in Him, where you want to have an altar call. Let's have an altar call for complete and total surrender, and trusting completely in the Spirit of God who is living within you to live His life through you. That's a good altar call. That's me. That's what I want. That's what I want.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Understand, when revelation comes, it's already in your spirit, and the Spirit of God releases it to your mind, and you get it. Okay, now it's our part is to meditate on it, to dwell on it, to talk to ourselves about it. Okay, it's like when a revelation comes, it's like the window of opportunity for a woman to get pregnant. You all know there's just a little, small window there, right? Small period of time, okay? The seed comes, and it makes conception when it hits on that period of time. Hey. So when we receive revelation, it's like God is giving us a window of time. For me, it's usually just a few days. I need to get that planted. And I need to get it planted really well within a few days, and it never leaves me. For a long time, I was, you know, memorizing scripture. As a young Christian, I memorized a lot of scripture, and it wasn't doing nothing. It wasn't changing my life. I knew a lot of scripture. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scripture verses I memorized. It's a whole bunch of us doing it. We met together every week, and every week we had to know a new Bible verse. We did it for years. And it wasn't changing me. Because I didn't understand how to meditate. I didn't understand how to chew on that word and begin to talk about it and think about it until it's planted. And as I began to do that, that's when I began to see my life change. And it wasn't changing because I was making a change, because I was doing so good, because I changed my mind about things. It was working because I changed my mind about who I was trusting in. That's repentance. Change the way you think and where our source is. Right? Right. Okay. Huh? Yes. But I've come to the place where I don't want to just learn about Him. I don't want more knowledge. Knowledge alone puffs up. It makes you think you got something you don't got. It's like I heard one of the old time preachers say, you think that because you know something that you therefore have that something? Is that what you think? Speaking to the church, you think because you know something that you have that something? No. You have it because you've placed faith in it, and you've let that root become rooted in your heart, and you believe in it. You believe in that word. And now God can release that word in you and through you. All right? Let's just look at one thing that we really, from in salvation, that we really need to know. Okay, there's lots of things we need to know about the new covenant, about what Jesus did for us. But I just want to take one thing, and it's really big. And then maybe we can meditate on it. Okay, Romans. Okay. I'm going to read. Now, we've read this. You've read it, I'm sure, many times, okay? Maybe it's great, took hold within you. Maybe it's rooted within you. Maybe it's not. But it is something that needs to be rooted within us. So not only we can see the change, but we can bring others into that change. How many of you know you can't bring somebody somewhere you haven't been? You can talk about it. I can try to give you directions on how to go to a city I've never been to. And you may get there, you may not get there. But But if I've been there and I know how to get there and I tell you about it, I know if you follow the instructions, you'll get there. So we need to we need to be able to get this. Okay, I'm just going to start in Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read a few verses. Therefore, verse 4, Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Notice, it's not automatic that we walk in newness of life. You see that? It is automatic that when you place faith in Jesus Christ, your old nature, your old spirit man died, was crucified with Christ. Okay? That's done. But now, it's not automatic that we walk in this new life that we've been. It's not automatic that we now walk in this new born-again person's life that's now living inside of you, born in heaven, living in you now. It's not automatic. There's something that needs to happen. And he tells us, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also should be in the likeness of his resurrection. And then he says in verse 6, knowing this, when you know this, when you know this, then you're going to begin to walk in the newness of life. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Okay, knowing this, that who you used to be, the real you on the inside, the spirit person, is dead. Okay, your spirit is where your nature is. We're all born into this world with a sin nature, right? Anybody doubt that? Okay, we're all born into this world with a sin nature, okay? And we live until we come to the place, the time, when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we get a new spirit that comes in, our old spirit crucified with Christ, new spirit comes in. Until that time, we're under instruction and training out of our old spirit, which is lost, which is carnal, which is fleshly, which is not able to think God thoughts, which is not able to do things that come from God. Not able to. It's not the nature, okay? It's the nature to figure things out. It's our nature to make things happen. You see the sign all over, just do it. Just do it. You can do it. Well, I can do all things through Christ, not through myself. But the world says, you can do anything. They leave the Christ part out. We can do nothing without Christ. Oh, yeah, we can do many things, but nothing that will matter. Nothing that will have any effect on our life or people around us, except to change maybe the way they think to line up with your stinking thinking. So now you got more people with stinking thinking. Right? So he what is this body of sin? Look at this. You ever wonder what he's talking about? Body of sin. Look at James chapter 2, verse 26. James 2, 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead. Okay. Question. If I was to stand up right now and I died, my body is flat out on the floor. What just happened? The real me, the spirit man Tony on the inside, just came out. He may look around and say, I hope you guys got it. And then he's ushered into the presence of God with a couple angels, one on each side, okay? My mind is maybe in some partial state of being renewed, now gets fully renewed, okay? And I'm in spirit. But where's my body? I left behind a body. When your old man, before Christ, when your old spirit man died, it left behind a body. New man came in, but he came into the old body. He came into the old mind, left behind by the old sin nature. The body and mind that has been trained by all year after year after year of fleshly, carnal thinking, living for self, getting all, you know, all I can for me, satisfying my fleshly lusts, living under all that, thinking that's the way to live. And then training coming from the world who thinks that way, training coming from parents who think that way, Okay, we come into a new body, and a new spirit man comes into the body, but it's the old body. The mind's still the old mind. Still trained to do things that aren't good. Trained to do selfish things. Trained. Many years of training to do something, okay? For some, for me, it was, gosh, how old was I when I... Nancy, help me. When I was born again, I was pretty old. 30 years old. I had 30 years of training to be a pit hole. 30 years of training to speak things that weren't true, to do things that weren't right. 30 years of selfishness, 30 years of living for myself. I had 30 years training this mind, 30 years all for myself and all these people, 30 years of training my body on how to live sinfully. And here comes my new man into this body. I look, whoa, I'm changed. Why am I not thinking different? Why am I still struggling with the things I'm struggling with? Not understanding that now my mind's got to get renewed. So together with my renewed mind and my spirit man, I can train my body on how to live. And I can speak life into my body. So that's the body of sin. Okay, now needs to become a body of life. A body that's holy. A body that reflects and lives and brings forth the life of God. Eh? Are you with me? I don't know. You know, none of us, the problem for me is that there are many Christians who are in deliverance ministry, and they're in that ministry operating out of an unrenewed mind. They're trying to get people to get out of the things that are wrong by carnal thinking, by fleshly thinking. They're trying to get them to resist the anger, resist the pride, resist the evil temptations within them. They're trying to get them to fight against it, not do it. That's religion. That's fleshly. That's never going to get you anywhere. God's way is to, he gives us a new manufacturing plant. We were born into this world with a manufacturing plant. That's our spirit that manufactures sin. Selfishness, all that stuff. Okay, his God's way, crucify that thing, shut that plant down, destroy that plant, give us a brand new plant that produces life, that produces healing, that produces deliverance, that produces restoration, that produces joy, peace, and kindness, and goodness, that produces healing, produces everything that we need. It produces it. Our spirit produces it. Having become one with the Holy Spirit, the production, the manufacturing plant for all that Jesus is and all that heaven has is in us now. We have the new manufacturing plant. Hey, that's God's way. The old one, if we're taught the old way, and we have believers that are going around trying to get people delivered. I know because I did it. Trying to get people delivered by focusing on the issues that are wrong. Going back into their history and finding out what's the historical source. Okay, which one of your parents had the root sin? Where did this come from? Was generation? Where in your generational line did this come from? You know that's and these are Christians who are operating out of an unrenewed mind. They don't know who we've become. That our position now is to, number one, understand who we are, who God made us to be, and now teach others to know who they are. Who God made them to be. And begin to believe in that, trust in that, and walk that way. And some people say, you're telling me that I need to walk like I'm holy. You're telling me that I need to walk like I'm pure. I need to walk like I'm filled with all the power of God. You're telling me I need to walk with the love of God. Yeah, you know, I feel like that's hypocritical because that's not what I'm feeling at all. Okay, and you're living out of your feelings. But that's who God made you to be. It's hypocritical for us not to walk that way because that's who you really are now. Right? Right? Amen. Okay, so here's what happens, okay? We carry over into our Christianity
maybe the anger we had, maybe the off the wall, off the cuff things we say that are not nice. We carry that over. We carry over the rejection and the bitterness and the hurt and all those things. We carry that over from our old self that died. And we think now we need to go through a process of deliverance. No, Jesus finished the work. He defeated every last bit of it. He gave you, made you a brand new creation. He did. He did. You only believe. So what do we do when those lustful thoughts come? What do we do when those anger thoughts come? Yeah. Yeah, the exact opposite. That's not who I am. Okay, that man is dead. And you can tell your soul that. You can tell your mind that. He's thinking. I'm not buying that. That's not who I am anymore. I'm a new creation. I'm a new man. I've been created to love. I've been created to bless. I've been created to bring healing to hurting people. I've been created to set the captives free. And it can be with a word. You hear me? It can be with a word. I've counseled people over the years. I mean, the early years, I had people come to me. A lot of people come to me for counseling. And I'd say, well, here's what I believe. I believe that Jesus has already done the work to set you free. Jesus has already done the work to restore your marriage. I said, just let me pray right now, and you believe it's going to be better. And they look at me and they say, oh, time out. You think it's that easy? I've had husband and wife start arguing with each other. You think it's that easy? You know what he's done to me. I said, no. I know what maybe he did to you out of the old memory of the old man, but I know what he will do to you and what you will do to him when you start living out of the new man, when you start living out of who you really are. You won't be able to do those things. You won't be able to push each other apart. You won't be able to do that when you start living out of who God made you to be. Eh? That's the truth. That's the truth. So it's teaching people. It's teaching people how to know who they are. Back to Romans. Hold on. Are you there? Have you ever heard somebody say, and it comes from even Christians, I'm only one drink away from failure. That comes from the mouth of a Christian who does not know who they are. This is what we ought to say. I'm only one act of faith away from being totally set free. Don't say, I'm only one drink away from failure. And people at AA do. You know how many Christians go to AA? And what do? They stand up and say, yes, I am an alcoholic. Yes, I am a nasty person. Yes, I have a terrible drinking habit. Why are you lying? If you're born again, that's not who you are anymore. I think Christians should go to AA and they should stand up and say, I'm not who you're saying I am. I'm a born again. I've been born in heaven. I don't need that stuff. That's not who I am anymore. I got more juice to drink than you could ever understand. It's the joy of the Holy Ghost. I got greater wine, man. I got the greatest wine ever. I get high on the Holy Ghost. Oh, man. Oh, man. Stand up and say that, because now you're talking truth. And the Spirit of God's going to look at you and say, aha. And those people that are sitting there who are Christians, they're born again, but don't know who they are, who are confessing the old man. Paul said in Philippians, he said, I press on towards the prize. I put those things that are behind. I forget those things that are behind. I forget who I used to be. It doesn't mean you mentally can't remember it anymore. No, what he's saying is that I'm going to confess that's not who I am. That's no longer who I am. The guy who used to get angry all the time, the guy who used to get upset, the woman who used to fret and worry and be anxious and be all concerned about so many things and not unrestful, not at peace, that's not who I am anymore. Full of peace. F-
full of joy. I'm full of the Spirit of God. You know, Romans 10, 9 and 10. He gives us an order in verse 10. And look at it. Just flip over there real quick. Okay, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10 gives us the order. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Tell me what comes first. Believing in your heart. He's given us the order. You want to see a radically whacked out God-changed life? Get the order right. First he says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We got Christians running around confessing all kinds of stuff without believing it in their heart. Ain't nothing going to happen. Believe it in your heart. Get the revelation. Get the knowledge. That's right. Get that revelation. Get it in your heart. Let it get rooted. Let it become established. Let it keep feeding on that word until it chokes out all of the weeds. Believe in your heart and then confess. And then confess. And there will be power released. Oh my. Oh my. Have you noticed how psychology has come into the church? We had some people that left here a couple of years ago, and you know, it was those who were of the camp, the deliverance camp, you know, and or deliverance is a process where you're going to have to hammer the people, and you know, go through the whole thing, and we had 13-hour deliverance sessions. If it's already done, okay, if you've already been set free, then how long should it take for you to experience that? You believe in your heart and then confess with your mouth. Hey, okay, we have Christians that are filling churches that are full of, they think that their life is, because they were rejected and abused as a child, that now their whole life is meant, they're going to be filled with rejection everywhere. They're going to be abused by people. Where the heck does that come from? Not God. Jesus paid a price for them to be free. Let's just begin teaching them who they are in Jesus Christ. You're not rejected. You're accepted in Jesus Christ. He accepts you just the way you are. You understand that? When you place your faith in him, he accepts you just the way you are. Does that mean you're sin-free? You still got some sins. He's going to take care of all that. Don't you worry about that. Holy Spirit knows how to take care of that stuff. He'll take care of all of it. You are accepted. You are accepted. I'm accepted by the Creator God, by the King of Kings, by the Lord of Lords. He accepts me. I am his son. I don't care if people reject me or not. That don't count. What counts is the one who made me. And he accepts me. He accepts me. You know, this world around us is waiting. They are waiting to hear such a gospel. They're waiting to hear somebody tell them, you're free. You're free to let God work in you, to let God change you, to let God be your God. You're free. You're free to drop all that stuff. You're free to not be concerned what anybody else says about you. You're free to no longer take offense. You're free to not get offended at what anybody says, but to smile and be able to bless them. You're free. You're free! You're free! You know how many people are waiting to hear that gospel? But it's got to come from someone who's been freed by that gospel. Amen. I'm showing my pecs. You need a microphone? I think a lot of people in here did. No, you don't have to. You know how many churches are filled? Let me tell you this. You know how many pastors and church leaders I see who are carrying 20 and 30 years of rejection? Pastors. Carrying it. And they have this sense of total inadequacy because of the guilt and the condemnation comes with that the enemy brings along with that.
And when they get the message of the gospel, how Jesus has already paid for that, and they grab hold of that, I want to tell you, now they're free to go set their people in their church free. Okay, but people that are listening to this need to have a mic for you to hear it.
Was it on? Okay. Predestination, when you said that, that's powerful, but that's for another time. Because God has predestined everything, even his son dying on the cross before the earth began. But he doesn't know what choice we're going to make when we give our lives to Christ. And when we do, then, you know, all the angels in heaven rejoice. So, because some people say, well, if God knows everything, what's the sense of me even trying? He already knows I'm going to hell, so I might as well eat, drink, and be merry. Wrong.
Happy New Year.
Absolutely wrong. But a woman came over to my house the other day, terrified, drunk. She'd lost her dog, everything you can imagine. I invited her into the pool area. I said, you know what? Jesus loves you, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to anoint you from head to toe. And then she started telling me that the house she was living in that she sold was haunted. Her husband died of cancer because the house was haunted. The couple that lived there before, their marriage broke up. So because she believed that all this, she was an ex-Catholic like me, because she believed that Satan was out to destroy her life, I had to pray over her in a way that since she believed that, I said, oh, is that what you think? Oh, yeah. So I said, okay, in the name of Jesus, I cut off every evil hex, vex, every piece of witchcraft. You are healed, sealed, and delivered in Jesus' name. So she, something left her. She growled kind of like an animal, and she went on her way feeling peace, joy, hugged me like I was her mother or I was Jesus and wouldn't let go. And it was happened that quick. But it's weird because she believed that her husband died because the house was cursed. She believed her whole life was falling apart because of witchcraft. So because she believed that, I felt led to say, you know what, I take authority over that in Jesus' name, and I cut it off. And when I said that, something changed in her. Like you said, deliverance, I've been through many deliverances. I would be upset, I'd be ashamed, I'd be bouncing off the floor saying this isn't fair. I felt humiliated, and I did. But I had to go through all that to realize that I come out of a lot of religion, I come out of a lot of stuff that was kind of like witchcraft. And so I went through any chance I got. If someone wanted to do deliverance on me, I went forward. I'm like, I'm going to humble myself in the sight of the Lord. I'm tired of all this. But in her case, every case is different. What you're saying is true. But if they truly believe in their mind, the devil's out to curse them, take their life, everything. You know, you don't have to do it in a real crazy way. Just say, that's a lie, take authority over that. And she left free. While Steve was in bed sleeping, wondering what's going on. But the Lord told me this. You don't always have to go out looking for souls. I will send them to you. People that are desperate, when they know you're a Christian. When they know that you're a Christian, they will literally come to you. So what would you say in a situation like that when somebody is telling you all this evil stuff has happened to them? How would you handle that? Would you proceed to say, I just cast off that lie, or how would you do it?
Okay. I don't think that God wants us to have rules like that. I think we all have the Holy Spirit who knows the condition of the person in front of us way better than we do. And I've discovered that the way he does it is going to be the way he does it. And I've seen more people get free by hugging them and saying nothing. Release of life, release of love to the person, a simple word, you know, not really even addressing the issue. Just release life. That's our main ministry, is to release the life of Jesus. Okay, the way the Holy Spirit does that is manifold ways. There is none. There is none. It's not. And I know as soon as we get into trying to establish this is the way you do it, then and you try to do it that way, you just put yourself under the law, and you're going to find yourself in bondage. Okay, we're going to finish up now. Okay, I got to let you guys go. It's not. We are free. We are free to be free. We are free to freely release the life of God in any way He wants. I mean, there's no. I used to before I go out and minister to people. I used to think about what I was going to say and how I was going to do it and pray, God, I need to know the words. And I don't do none of that. Be prepared in season and out of season to give hope, to give reason for the hope that's within you. You got it. Just trust Holy Spirit. Okay, you open your mouth. Jesus told the disciples, "Don't worry about what you will say." Don't worry about what you will say. Did you hear me? Don't worry about what you will say. Hey, don't worry about what you will say. Trust Him. None of us know the heart of the person in front of us, but the Spirit of God does. And He will release, He'll prompt you, He'll move you. Okay, just do whatever He needs you to do. Just that's it. That's it. It's so awesome. It's just so awesome. There was a study that was done, 3-year study. They spent millions of dollars to find out why people are happy. People are happy. And, you know, they found out that happy people smile a lot. So they concluded after millions of dollars and years of studies, they concluded that, okay, if you're happy, you smile. But in God's economy, the way it works is you have that happiness, you have that joy within you, and you naturally smile. It's spontaneous. I can't help but smile. I can't help but get excited. I can't help but laugh. I can't help but get encouraged by, you know, the things that God is doing for people and how He would use somebody like me. I mean, if He'll use me, He'll use anybody. He really will. I mean, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, oh, man, you know what? I just there's so much I need to have before I can minister. No. You've got what you need. You've got the one who is. It's the Spirit's ministry. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He carries it out. We trust Him. We trust Him. I've had people standing in front of me, you know, and I know they're messed up and they're looking for something, you know, and I'm just sitting there, you know. Waiting on the Holy Ghost. And just waiting, you know, just waiting. All of a sudden they'll start crying or they'll begin to say something that, you know, that they, and they'll say, I don't believe I even told you that. You know, of course, I know why they told me that. The Spirit of God releasing them to say exactly what I need to release, the life words of God to help them. He does it all. He does it all. Some of you, I know, we got some people in this room that, I mean, you know how to minister. You know how to roll with the Holy Spirit. You know how to wait on Him. You know how to get excited with Him. You know how to, when you get around people, get, oh, yes. Without really even knowing what's going to happen. You're just like, no, you know, because God wants to touch people. He wants to touch them with His life. And religion wants to give us rules and regs. Okay, forget the rules and regs. You've got the one who wrote the book living inside of you. Okay? He's gonna do things in ways that there's no way, like Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's like when you get born again, it's gonna be like the wind blows, but you don't know what direction the wind's coming from. It's like, oh wow, and then you think it's gonna come that way again. It comes this way, and you go, oh, it's gonna come now. It comes that way. Okay, and when you're in the Spirit, you're gonna be like the wind. You're gonna release life this way. You're gonna speak this way. You're gonna touch them. You're gonna bless them. All these hundreds of ways that God can release life, it's gonna just happen through you. You're gonna be like the wind. Okay, just trust Him. It's awesome. It's totally awesome. It's totally awesome. It's totally awesome. Okay, you know what I do? I when He lets me, is He got somebody, they're not even born again yet, and I'm telling them about what they have in Jesus Christ.
I'm telling them about the inheritance that is theirs. They're not even born again yet. They've never received Jesus. And I'm telling them about what Jesus has done for them. That, see, that's the gospel. The gospel is the good news about what Jesus has done for you. You don't know it yet, so I'm going to give you good news. It's not good cop, bad cop. It's not tell them how bad they are and then bring them the good news. No, no, they already know. Everybody knows how bad they are. Everybody knows how bad. Everybody knows the secrets of their heart that are like nobody else wants to know. They know. Okay, they know. They already know their condition. They need to hear good news. So let's just like bury the bad news stuff, okay? Let's just like forget about that for 2019 and allow the good news bearer, Jesus Christ, to release through you to bring to people some presents. Let's deliver some presents this year to people. I believe this, and it's a desire of my heart, that when I'm around someone and I depart from them, I know I may never see them again. I want to be able to leave them with a touch, with a taste, with a sense that they just met the Creator God who loves them. And that could be something as simple as crying with them, holding them. I'm telling you, let's leave people, everyone, with the sense that they've just been touched by God. Okay? It's simple. It's really simple. Hallelujah. Okay. That's it.
Amen.
Elizabeth? Okay. That's right. Either we believe it or we don't.
Am I calling God a liar when I think I'm cursed? Is that what I'm doing? You have to question yourself that hard, because that's what you're doing when we're doing when we think I got this curse from my pops or something. That's what's happening. God's not a liar. He became a curse for us.
Amen.
So we could be blessed.
Amen.
Sorry. That was in me for a while.
Amen. All the promises of God are yes and amen. For you, because you are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Go give it away. Go give it away. Yeah.